Welcome to the Unseen Realm with Paul Renfro and friends. I'm your host, Paul Renfro, and with me are dear friends and mature people who are studying the scripture together about living as a spirit. We're using the scriptures in my book, Nobody Sees This You, How to Live as a Spirit in the Unseen Realm. It's available at ParadigmLighthouse.com. That's link is in the show notes. You're welcome to get a copy, but you can just follow along. We'll have a whiteboard that has the excerpts and the Bible verses we'll be discussing. But it's the tagline that probably drew you to this presentation. Finally, a Bible explanation for what you are experiencing. Because all of us in this group are like you. We have been through this process of having that itch inside that nobody could scratch. But instead of giving up or just taking it as part of the norm, we each have pursued God and found that He could scratch that itch. When strange things keep happening in you and in your life circumstances, don't you feel deep down that there is something, some way, somehow, somebody in an unseen world that is active and maybe even determinative in this visible present world and maybe in your life? Well, you aren't crazy. That is happening to more and more people, and we know because it's happening to us as well. So we know for a fact that it is God agitating people to draw near to Him, and that's not an easy process. So we welcome you to join in. That's what we're discussing tonight. Please give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down because your comments are welcome, and the show notes will tell you how to contact me directly. Now, my friends and I, thank you for joining us. It's a privilege to talk about these things with each other and to include you. We're taking one Bible passage at a time that's used in my book, Nobody Sees This You, How to Live as a Spirit in the Unseen Realm. And so first, I read the scripture, and then we read the short excerpt about that scripture from the book. And then our group discusses it together, and I'm sure you'll find that to be not only fascinating, but also relevant to your own questions. So let's get started.
Paul, let me ask you a question.
Sure, go ahead.
When you say that read a sermon over and over, do you read it to meditate on it, or do you read it waiting for new revelation?
First of all, there's the basics. We say, who's talking? Right. What are the repeated words and phrases? Yeah. What's the historical setting? Who are the recipients? And in Romans 12, it begins by saying, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Okay, that means one thing to us in the 21st century, but it meant another thing to the Roman citizen that he was writing to in the first century. And so what transforming did he have in mind for them? And for us, it's a whole different set of issues. Don't get caught up in shopping or driving or working on the computer. But for them, what were the issues that required their mind to be transformed? And so you can reverse engineer from the directions that Paul gives them in Romans 12. Each one is, they're not random and they're not generalized. They're specific to the people he's writing to. And so you say, why would I write? What must I think about my recipients if I write this sentence to them? And for instance, he says, do what's good in the sight of all men. That's an amazing statement. For us, it's just offhand and so forth like that. But you put that statement into the ears of Roman listeners and the eyes of Roman readers, and all of a sudden you think, good night. That is really revolutionary. That's what I mean by meditating. Okay. And that was on like day 40 of Romans 12.
Wow.
The scripture is so shallow that a baby is so safe that a baby can swim unattended and not get drowned, but it's so deep that a mature person can never hit the bottom.
Yeah.
And it's really beautiful. Let's get started. This is an excerpt from chapter 4 in the book, Nobody Sees This You, How to Live as a Spirit in the Unseen Realm by yours truly. So the first filling is the subtitle. The filling of the Spirit occurred in Acts chapter 2, after the disciples were already reborn as spirits because they had submitted to Jesus. Now, the drama of Pentecost Day, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, was a very clear demarcation for the apostles and the new Christians. The filling of the Spirit was an instant maturing event for them. They sprang suddenly from the maturity of children to this in the Spirit,
They sprang suddenly from the maturity of children in the spirit to the maturity of fully functioning adult spirits. Now, in the natural, becoming an adult does not mean we mature no further. I'm sad to say it does for some, but it's ideally we all keep maturing. And likewise, the filling of the spirit does not eliminate the need for our spirit to mature. And this evidence is throughout the New Testament. Now, that's why the letters are written to people who are already born in spirit, but they need to mature. And the letters of the New Testament are the apostles' effort to help their recipients mature. For example, Apostle Peter made a severe mistake in Antioch, which Apostle Paul described in Galatians chapter 2. There, Peter even backed off his own three-time vision from God in Acts chapter 10, and he treated Gentile Christians as lower class. That occurred many years after the Holy Spirit filled Peter. The need to mature as a living spirit persisted his entire life in the flesh as it does in ours. So you can never rest on your laurels. So the entire leadership of the Jerusalem church provides a second example. In Acts chapter 15 and Acts chapter 21 and 22, their need for maturity is revealed. The Jerusalem church leaders continued to regard the Jewish leaders who had crucified Jesus too highly. And so they placated. I did not swallow a bug, but something went down there. The Jerusalem church leaders continued to regard the Jewish leaders too highly, the same Jewish leaders that had crucified Jesus. And these Jerusalem church leaders placated the Sanhedrin in a detente in Acts chapter 21. The church leaders in Jerusalem actually feared the Jews more than they respected Apostle Paul, their own brother. This is very evident in Acts chapter 21. And therefore, they asked Paul, when he returned to Jerusalem after decades in absence, to join in their placating effort when he brought an offering to the Gentile church from the Gentile churches. The political exigencies of placating the leadership in Jerusalem made the Jerusalem church leaders blind to love and blind to loyalty. And even worse, when Paul's defense opportunity arose in Roman courts, not one of the Jerusalem church leaders appeared on his behalf. Now, Apostle Paul, later in his life, recognized that our effort to mature as a spirit must be continual. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he himself exhorts us, Christians, to make every effort with all diligence to mature as spirits. And those efforts are the subject of the 10th chapter in the book that we're reviewing. Apostle John also recognized the danger of failure to mature. He explicitly stated that some fell away from the church and from Jesus because they were inattentive to their true spirit maturing. That's 1 John chapter 2. We may be born as spirits, but maturing must follow it. Hebrews 5, 13 and 14 presumes this, and I'll read this, and then we'll get Lisa to get our conversation started. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, Lisa, go ahead and unmute yourself, and let's see what your thoughts are about this.
Okay, I was thinking that, not that I'm a mature spirit at all, but you were talking before about speaking in tongues. Yes. I've seen that with my brother-in-law that just recently passed. I've witnessed him speak in tongues. I think too much.
You're like, certainly not the only one, so go for it.
Yeah. But aside from that, I think a good way to mature, I had bought for myself last Christmas a chronological Bible every day by day that you read it every day. And it was just the English Living Translation. It was something in plain language English there that I didn't have. It was just like reading a book. I compared it to my other Bibles, and it was pretty close, but it was very easy to read. And I kept on track. I remember my father-in-law was laughing at. Nobody who ever reads the Bible, I go, I did it. I know I did it like once or twice, but I go, I'm going to read this one. And it kept me on track. Here's the days I did it. I highly recommend that, especially something that even if you don't quite just understand, like just go through it once. Try that. Just go through. Take a nice, easy translation that you can get that's divvied up to the days. That just keep you disciplined and just plug along. Just go for it.
One that I have used is called the 1 Year Bible. Is that the what you have?
This one was a chronological one.
Oh.
Yeah, a little different.
Yeah.
But I've read the 1 Year Bible. I've done that one also. I don't know.
The chronological lays it out in terms of the historical sequence of the writings and the events.
Yeah.
Is that right? Oh, boy.
Right.
That is really great. Oh, that's a great encouragement.
See how things are happening there, especially with the prophets and things. It was good to see them interspersed with the kings, that they're all going on together there. It was I thought it was interesting.
You said something that I want to follow up on, because you said your father-in-law said nobody reads the Bible. And listener, somebody may have said that to you, and you may be of that opinion, but obviously you're wrong, because there's six of us here, seven of us, however many, I can't count. But the point is that there are people not only who read the Bible, but live the Bible. It is alive, and give it a shot, okay? If you need a more modern translation, just get it. It's easy. I've shown you, you can go on BibleGateway.com, and every translation known to man is on there. So let's go to Lundy, because we're talking about the first filling and the filling of the Spirit and the need to mature as a Spirit. Lundy, what are your thoughts? I'm going to get you to unmute. Okay. What are your thoughts about that?
It might not be in direct answer to your question, but it just finally clicked with me today that I am a living spirit. I was talking with my husband about it, and like we grew up and just hearing we are body, soul, and spirit. But it just clicked today that, I am a living spirit, and understanding more of the contrariness between the spirit and the body. Even the body is hungry, it's ready to eat, but maybe the spirit needs to skip a meal to spend more time with the Lord and seek direction about something, and just see how those are warring against each other. But then when I was driving back from an errand, I was thinking, if I'm a living spirit, what do I need to do to fill the spirit? Because that's what I need to feed, not my body. And so I was thinking, reading the word and listening to him. And I basically just need to feed my body just to keep it going but it's temporary.
The body.
So anyway, it just clicked today. So thank you.
Oh, isn't that great, Rebecca? I'm sure you can relate to what Lundy's saying, when those things just click. You had that experience, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, and I think just looking back at what you were saying, that to switch topics a little bit, that infilling of the Spirit is just a beginning, and we can stunt our own growth by not taking an active role in it. So just Lundy and Lisa were saying, just reading the word, even fasting, just basically taking the time. It is a discipline, I believe, but I think over time, that discipline turns into something very enjoyable and enriching. And so I think that's where you should start. And so you do have to play an active role in that.
You mean God just doesn't lay it in our lap and all of a sudden we're instantly mature? Like mixing up Kool-Aid.
Yeah. And another tip, and this is for me personally, I have realized I get very distracted. I don't know if you know what this is, but it's a phone or whatever. You might be distracted by Netflix or just different things, whatever your hobby. Hobbies are great, but sometimes you have to know when to dial it back and apply that discipline. And then the growth does start to take off.
Isn't that the truth? How about it, Barbara? I'm going to get you to unmute yourself. You're hearing all these things. And with what we've discussed already, what are your thoughts? What do you has been the most meaningful to you? And what do you think would be meaningful to people?
First of all, I think what she said is so true, just that being filled with the Spirit is the first step. You can still get very much into the soulish realm. Mm-hmm. But I think what has helped me more than anything is just to learn that I am three parts. I am body, soul, and spirit. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if I'm saying this right, but to stay in the spirit, I have to recognize that pull of my soul, my body and my soul against that. And I guess one thing that I struggle with is worry, anxiety, fear, doubt over certain things. What happens to Chip when we're gone? That's probably the biggest thing that pulls me away. But anyway, I was listening to a Bible study on the power of doubt. And when we start to doubt the word of God, we're very much in the flesh, in the soulish realm or the flesh. And so really just the word of God is the second step of would be staying in the word, going back to the word, believing the word. That's the only way I know to stay in the spirit. And I don't do it very well, but it's so easy.
Any listener can relate to you for sure, because we all have our challenges.
Yeah. And the world just pulls you into what you're hearing on the news can cause you anxiety, fear, that kind of thing.
And then there's family things. There's family things. You mentioned your son, Lisa. I'm going to get you to unmute yourself. What's your thoughts about what Barbara was saying?
Oh, worrying about death, Barbara. I just had a month from on vacation.
Just call it what it is.
Yeah. We went on vacation and everything was good, and I came back and everything is bad. And talk about getting beaten down. Yeah, all I had to go on. I was so beaten down. I said I was lower than a slug's belly. That's what I felt like. I go, I got nothing. I had nothing. I was just totally at the mercy of God, because I couldn't even. It was my son, my brother-in-law that I've known for. That still hurts. I've known him so long.
Yeah, and he just recently died. But thank God his faith was in the Lord Jesus. And he had definitely, from the sound of it, matured as a spirit. And so, Bill, tell us your thoughts. We're talking about, and Jerry, we're talking about the filling of the spirit and how we must continue to mature, that just like we become an adult, we don't stop maturing. And so, Bill, what are your thoughts on that? You've had a lot of years to mature. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, Paul, it's been a long road. I played church all my life. And it wasn't until late in life I first realized that I did have a spirit. But I can say that the filling of that Holy Spirit, the first filling, really, and to me, came even later in life. It's been a process, a progress of realizing that there was more. Yeah. And just continuing to search for the more. And I don't know why it took me so long to be able to pray in tongues or speak in tongues. But it was even after I realized that I was three parts, body, soul, and spirit, that I was able to speak in tongues. And late, within the last 8 to 10 years. And I think it's just a process. It means so much to me now. Barbara talks about how she worries about what happens to Chip after we leave. When you were there, when the lady from IC spoke over Barbara and I, like she had read our mail before this ever happened to Chip.
Yeah, you're talking about Linda Rader and that prophetic conference Rader, in December of 2006.
And so she had that prophecy over us, and I claimed it. And so when we got the call about Chip and we were headed back, and Barbara said, "We're going to lose him." I said, "No, we're not.
No, we're not.
He's going to be okay."
And you all came in, and the whole emergency room knew that Bill and Barbara had arrived, because spirit of death, we rebuke you. Get away from our son. And Joyce and I had known that the Lord didn't want him dead. And so we began to pray accordingly in the hour or two before y'all got there. And he's alive today. And you're
and he's got how he progressed especially in the very beginning, it just built my faith up. And saying he if he makes it, and we don't think he will, he'll be a vegetable the rest of his life. And see that progress, which just continued to build up my faith. And I'm convinced that it's not over.
It's not over. We pray up in you all the time.
And that is the Holy Spirit speaking to me on a daily basis. Yeah. And that real, now, I have those days when I get down, but I'm able to revive my soul and get back and saying, no, I've got a prophecy over him, and it's going to be fulfilled.
That's exactly right. What did Jehoshaphat said in 2 Chronicles 20? Believe in the Lord and in his prophets, and you will be established. And lo and behold, what you can read it yourself, viewer, to find out. Jerry, let's give you the last word. Now, we need to unmute you, and we need to see you. Thank you.
All right. Well, Paul, apologize. I've had a full day. And
I know you have, my friend. So what are your thoughts? We'll just let you close out on this little section. As you've been listening since you joined in, what are your thoughts about this? Because we're talking about the need to continue maturing as a spirit.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that as we age, we naturally evolve away from some of the issues that we have when we're younger and some of the things that we're involved in and some of the desires we have. Those tend to wane, and they help us in maturing as Christians to be able to see clearly, more clearly, our mistakes and understand what the Holy Spirit and what the Word is telling us. Yeah, I understand. I think you mature until you die.
It's a choice, isn't it, Jerry?
Yeah.
And so on that note, we're going to welcome our listeners to come back next week.
We'll continue our discussion in the next episode of The Unseen Realm with Paul Renfro and his friends. In the show notes are the links mentioned, as well as the whiteboard we used and the scriptures that we discussed. Now, you already know that our podcast and Bible discussion benefits from your thumbs up or thumbs down, right? So thanks for doing that, and we'll enjoy your participation. If you have questions or interest, you can use the contact form at ParadigmLighthouse.com to reach out to us.